Nation.
On this episode of Mike Crispy Unafraid, the debate last night, President Trump versus Kamala Harris. We have all of the sights and sounds, the debunking of the lies, 3-on-1, ABC moderators and Kamala Harris versus President Trump. We're going to give you a full breakdown on what transpired and the road ahead. It was unbelievable. Additionally, today is 9/11. We will pay tribute and must we never forget. I want to welcome everybody into this very special Wednesday edition of the program today. And I need you all to help us get this party started by rumbling this video. You guys know how to do that. That is the thumbs up on the browser. That is the thumbs up on the mobile app. You click it, you hit it, you tap it, you share this, and you get us to the top of the Rumble Leaderboards because it is the only place that we belong. So, we got a big program for you today. I'm ready. Producer Frankie's ready, I think. You better be too, and let's go. Everybody, Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is Wednesday. It is September 11th, a day that we must never forget. We will mention that at the end of the show, but I want to welcome into the show a man who, you know, has really been on the forefront of digging to the bottom of the truth on 9/11. Many people don't know that about him because, you know, the government, they lied about Russia. They lied about the impeachment. They lied about the election. They lied about January 6th. They lied about Trump on a daily basis. But they totally told the truth on September 11th, 2001. Oh, they lied about the Kennedy assassination. He has been one of the leading national debunkers of the propaganda. And he's ready to talk about the debate and that too. Producer Frankie, you were up last night having a couple cold ones. How you doing, my friend?
A couple cold ones, a couple more. It was interesting. I was watching. And let's talk about it, Mike, shall we?
Oh, man, what a debate it was. Well, I'm just going to tell you guys this. Obviously, my raw reaction from the debate last night was that it was a 3-on-1 setup. It was apparently obvious that Kamala Harris had those questions in advance. There's no way we will ever be able to tell one way or another. But it's abundantly clear in the way in which she answered the questions in such rehearsed robotic fashion that clearly she was fed those questions, particularly and especially the question about the black racial thing. Obviously, she was fed these questions because she had these cookie cutter answers ready to go. Now, I will say this. The expectations were very low for Kamala Harris, and the moderators obviously were going to help Kamala Harris. The moderators didn't help Joe Biden as much in the last debate because the plan was to dump Joe Biden all along. The moderators helped Kamala Harris last night because they interjected in President Trump's remarks five times and quote unquote fact checked him, but fact checked him with things that on this show we are going to show you are absolutely incorrect and were nothing more than cover-ups to help Kamala. That is why I say 3-on-1. And Kamala Harris said a lot of damning and explosive lies in a rehearsed campaign stump speech style delivery, but ABC moderators did not talk about it whatsoever. But just so you understand the tone and the temperament of what we were dealing with last night, it seems like everything that's happened over the last 3.678 years, okay, everything that's happened over that time period has been designed to give Democrats ammunition when they get on the stage. Talk about the economy in serious, genuine terms. They can't talk about the border in serious, genuine terms. They can't talk about foreign policy or energy independence in serious, genuine terms or the price of groceries at the grocery store. No. They reflexively go to personal attacks on President Trump when they then say that he's the one who launches the personal attacks. Kamala Harris used the fake stories created by the fake and phony indictments, by the weaponized DOJ, and then the fake news media creating fake stories, and that was the fodder for essentially all of her remarks last night. So if you're actually keeping score at home on what actually mattered that was talked about for the sake of the American people, Kamala Harris, zero. President Trump, everything. Kamala Harris last night talking about it. This was a flavor of what the American people saw. Now, we're going to roll this clip and then I'm going to tell you why I am troubled today, because you have to look at these debates through the lenses of the everyman. I'm talking not us, the people who just watch it and then they fly by. They go back to work, they go back to school, they go back to their kids. So we're going to roll this clip and then talk about it. Roll, Frankie.
Rich, coming from someone who has been prosecuted for national security crimes, economic crimes, election interference, has been found liable for sexual assault, and his next big court appearance is in November at his own criminal sentencing. And let's be clear. Where each person stands on the issue of what is important about respect for the rule of law and respect for law enforcement, the former vice president called for defunding federal law enforcement, 45,000 agents, get this, on the day after he was arraigned on 34 felony counts. So let's talk about what is important in this race. It is important that we move forward, that we turn the page on this same old tired rhetoric and address the needs of the American people, address what we need to do about the housing shortage, which I have a plan for, address what we must do to support our small businesses, address bringing down the price of groceries. But frankly, the American people are exhausted with this same old tired playbook.
Vice President Harris, thank you.
Excuse me. Every one of those cases was started by them against their political opponent. And I'm winning most of them, and I will win the rest on appeal. And you saw that with the decision that came down just recently from the Supreme Court. I'm winning most of them. But those are cases, it's called weaponization. Never happened in this country. They weaponized the Justice Department. Every one of those cases was involved with the DOJ, from Atlanta and Fannie Willis to the Attorney General of New York and the DA in New York, every one of those cases. And then they say, oh, he's a criminal. They're the ones that made them go after me. By the way, Joe Biden was found essentially guilty on the documents case. And what happened in my documents case?
All right, so that was the way that the Democrats take the narrative and flip it. They use that against President Trump when it's all cooked up nonsense. And then Kamala Harris gets in there that she wants to lower home prices. How are you going to lower home prices when they have these ridiculous Department of Housing and Urban Development standards that the Biden regime has created that makes towns and governments adhere to these ridiculous DEI standards in order to get federal funding in order to go to those towns unless they adhere to those standards. Additionally, Kamala Harris says bring down the price of groceries, bring down this. I got to say this. President Trump should, last night, he ended with the attack on Kamala. I think he should have started with the fact that 3.8 years, what have you done? You say you want to do this. So you say you want to change all these things, but then you simultaneously say Joe Biden was the best president of all time. How's that possible? How do you say he belongs around Mount Rushmore, but then you say that you need to change these things and get the grocery prices lowered and fix the border and fix the housing problem? They created these problems themselves. The energy problem themselves. President Trump mentioned Keystone Pipeline versus Nord Stream Pipeline. Very compelling point. Kamala Harris, anytime she had an opportunity to talk substantively, grazed over it. She attacked President Trump and she used a platitude. Okay, like we need to move forward. Or this is the new generation. These Nikki Haley-esque CIA-controlled milquetoast establishment candidate rhetorical lines that unfortunately work on people. I'm just giving you the truth. Unfortunately, they work. Kamala Harris was trained by all these people, say this, don't say that. When he brings up this very important thing, gloss over it. You have all this ammunition that we've created through the weaponized system, all coming down against President Trump. Just lie, lie, lie. Moderators won't correct you, but they'll try to correct President Trump on his truth tellings, and then you will use that and not address anything. And nobody, again, the moderators paint the connection between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and ask her to parse that. You think that would be the number one thing they would talk about. You would think the number two thing they would talk about would be the attempted assassination on President Trump's life. They want to talk about January 6th. But do they talk about the assassination that literally killed people in the crowd? And now Trump is to talk in front of bulletproof glass? They didn't ask Kamala Harris any tough questions like that. But we knew that the moderators would be tough. So President Trump needed to bring some of these things up. This was President Trump reacting this morning on Fox and Friends to the debate last night. Here are his raw reaction. If you haven't seen it yet this morning, this is what he was saying about the debate. Roll it.
The IVF, which is fertilization, I was a total leader on that. When I first heard about it, like right from the beginning, I was one of the leaders on it, and the Republican Party has been a leader on it. She tried to say it was just the opposite. The whole thing with abortion, what he said. I mean, it was incredible. I think he corrected me six times, and each time Mr. I was President? Right. I believe each time I was right, didn't correct her at all, and she was saying these things. She was using, like, Charlottesville. She was using Charlottesville, and everybody, mm-hmm. You take a look at Laura Ingraham. She did it incredibly. She had it totally debunked. She said that. In fact, it makes it angry. She gets angry when people hear about Charlottesville, when they use that, because what they did is they stopped and they didn't put the following sentence in. And when they put the last sentence in, when it was all put together, what I said was absolutely perfect. And ABC knew that. Everybody knew that, frankly. I think they lost a lot of credibility. But regardless, look, the polls are saying that I won that by 80-20, 90, we have one here, 92-7. And I sort of believe that's right. I thought, look, I've been told I'm a good debater. I think it was one of my better debates, maybe my best debate.
Post-debate poll coming out. We have this CNN, Frankie Pops on screen here. We have this from CNN that says after the debate, and here's where I think that Trump has his opportunity still with swing voters. I see people in the live chats, people are saying, oh, you know, I'm worried about the fence sitters. And listen, I'm worried about the fence sitters too, because a lot of these people are low information voters. And the moderators we knew wouldn't help the case. So it would be up on President Trump to prosecute the case. Yes, they were the most unfair moderators in history. Yes, it was horrible. And it's funny because after the debate, President Trump actually went up by 2 points on the economy in the CNN poll. And it's amazing how, again, there were things that were talked about. Anything that Kamala Harris didn't want to talk about, she just didn't address. But I think there was opportunities in the space for President Trump to talk about certain things and to put Kamala dead to rights. I will say, before we roll this next clip about what she didn't talk about, the border situation, when we were talking about the southern border, I think talking about Laken Riley and all of the young women and people, their names, who have been killed at the hands of illegal migrants. And then say Biden said, well, illegals commit crimes too. A totally insensitive and disgusting remark. How can Kamala Harris justify that and account for that? Use their names so the moderator cannot refute it. Say her name, Laken Riley. Why didn't you call the family? Why haven't you addressed that? Why do you refuse to believe that migrant crime is putting children and young girls in harm's way? Is that true? Asking those questions directly to Kamala, even though the candidates weren't talking to each other, to rattle her. Because clearly she's unsure of herself, and clearly she could be thrown off her block. We've seen that. And then President Trump mentioned this, but I think he should have mentioned it again, because he mentioned immigration a lot. And I think he should have mentioned this probably about two more times, because Kamala Harris needed to go on the record for this. He just said, you support sex changes against parents' will for children in public schools. That's bad enough. But also you want to give hundreds of millions of dollars to illegal migrants who claim they need sex changes too? And Biden's campaign surrogates, you can tell they really believe this, because ahead of the debate, a ABC reporter asked this question and nobody on the Harris campaign debunked it. They literally like kind of danced around it. Trump should have zeroed in on that a couple of more times. Here was that clip. Roll, Frankie.
But I do want to ask you about this CNN report. It shows Harris voiced support for cutting funding for ICE and for using taxpayer money to fund transgender surgery for detained migrants in 2019. Does the vice president still support those positions? And do you expect her to address them tonight?
Listen, I think, you know, these old questionnaires are a complete distraction from the task at hand right now. I think the vice president, and frankly, what the American people are actually asking about, right? What the American people are concerned about and what they're asking about is who's going to solve for border security.
Yeah, who's going to solve for border security? So there could have been examples, again, of the murders. Now, we talked about the cats and the dogs, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But Trump, in that instance there with Kamala, had her. Trump, at the end, prosecuted the case. I thought at the beginning, because again, people were saying, did he talk about the last 3.5 years in office? Some people are saying, oh, did he even say that? Well, he said that at the very end. Should have started with that and then ended the debate on a positive note, optimistic note for the future. Saying, this is my vision. The country was better from 2017 to 2020 before they unleashed the Wuhan flu. If you want the energy independence, if you don't want immigrants coming to the country, the price of fentanyl was at an all-time low. Kamala Harris claims she cares about it, but the price of fentanyl, sorry, was at an all-time high because the supply was at an all-time low because it was very hard to get it into the country. Law enforcement officers have said that. That's why the Fraternal Order of Police has endorsed President Trump all around the country. The FOP did a national endorsement of President Trump. Those things were left on the table. When Kamala Harris mentioned the situation about her being black, again, they asked that question, again, a total setup by these moderators. But they, and you know that Kamala had that question. They said, Mr. President, you know, why are you bringing the race into it when you said Kamala was black, then she wasn't black? So they asked that stupid question about her ever-changing race, but they didn't ask the question about the assassination attempt to Kamala Harris. That tells you everything you need to know about the debate. But Trump should have stopped and said, listen, you want to talk about, he should have said that, he kind of like said, well, this is the stupidest question. And yeah, it was. But then Kamala turned around and said, well, you're a racist and blah, blah, blah. She had that prepared. Trump could have said in that moment, well, you were the DA of San Francisco. You were the attorney general. You locked up thousands of black people for petty crimes like marijuana possession. If you want to talk about record, this is what I did for black people. I created opportunity zones and I created economic prosperity so they could jobs and start businesses in those areas and have more affordable housing. You locked them up. Because at the time, it was politically expedient. You were being told that you needed to lock these people up so they can get into the prison system to boost the tax basis and the revenues in California. That's what Kamala Harris was focused on. You didn't really hear him talk about the DA record and the Attorney General record of Kamala Harris in the debate. That's what Tulsi famously got Kamala on. Remember, right? Tulsi famously got Kamala on that? So these are some things that I think were, you could say, left on the table. Now, we hear about this bloodbath thing. Now, the bloodbath, again, we're going to talk about the disingenuous lies. This is kind of an entree into the next segment in which we're going to talk about the debunked lies. And then the next segment, we got producer Frankie, who's got a lot of thoughts on this. But this is how disingenuous and vicious Kamala was. Now, I think expectations were low because Joe Biden was a vegetable who couldn't string sentences together. Everyone thought Kamala Harris would be the same. Listen, I think people were like, oh, you know, it was bad because, you know, everyone was like scared because Kamala Harris was just able to speak. Listen, all candidates are usually able to speak. All candidates are usually able to speak, except for Joe Biden. So we almost got a little too comfortable with having a vegetable standing there who couldn't talk. Kamala Harris didn't get to where she is by being 100% incompetent. I mean, again, it's a low bar. Memorize talking points, regurgitate talking points, take facts, twist them as lies, say them. I mean, that's been going on in politics for a very long time. Kamala Harris just did that. And Republicans were kind of like, oh, she's horrible, she can't speak. She was able to do that. And that actually made her seem better because she was able to talk. But look at the way that she parsed these things together. Frankie, roll this bloodbath hoax.
On that point, Donald Trump, the candidate, has said in this election there will be a bloodbath if this and the outcome of this election is not to his liking.
A bloodbath if the outcome was not to his liking. Now, why didn't the fake news in the moderators correct that? Because this was the statement. Again, it was about the economy. How disingenuous do you have to be? Again, they were correcting Trump on things that were actually true. Again, more on that in the next segment. But why didn't they correct on this? This is what Trump actually said, Raul Frankie.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of
okay.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
So clearly, the context there is obvious and apparent. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do some sponsors, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get producer Frankie in the mix. Frankie is, I see his fingers right now. His fingers are scintillating at the keyboard. He's ready to go. Spring into action like a cheetah. We're going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Frankie. And you know what's funny is Frankie usually goes to bed at 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. Last night he was on the phone with me at 11:30 at night. So what does it tell you? Frankie's raring to go, but I had a lot to say.
We'll get into this.
We'll get it. No, you're not happy. We're going to get into this in the next segment. But first, we have some sponsors that we need to read who are making the show possible, who are allowing us to broadcast the truth, who are allowing us to get this word out to you, who are allowing us to, in real time, give you the perspective. Again, I think it's an intelligent perspective. I think it's a level-headed perspective. You know, we're not here telling you, oh, that it was the, you know, greatest thing ever and that the public sentiment is going to shoot up in overwhelming favor. I believe that it was a vicious setup, but we knew it would be a vicious setup. So these points that I'm making could have been good points. There will be more opportunities. And there you go. But again, we're going to talk in the next segment about some of the other things from the debate. Now, first, we have a word from our sponsor, Armor Colostrum. Guys, try armor.com/LFATV. They even say that Armor has products now that can then regenerate hair growth. I talk about it every day. My cell phone knows this. They give me advertisements about it every day. So guys, Armor Colostrum, these supplements are amazing for you. Even producer Frankie's wife, not fiance, wife, takes the colostrum. Armor Colostrum, tryarmor.com/LFATV. Roll it, Frankie.
The biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. Skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice. I replaced it all with this Armor Colostrum. It is amazing.
You gotta take it.
If you wanna try it, tryarmor.com.
TryArmor.com/LFATV. Go get it today. You will feel amazing in so many ways. Now a word from our next sponsor. You want to talk about sponsor? It's going to have you feeling amazing. How about our friends over at My Vital C? If you're over 35 and like the typical American, you start to feel tired around noon and your ability to focus just keeps getting worse as you get older. For energy, you probably have tried coffee, you probably tried tea, or one of those sugary, disgusting energy drinks that just don't work. And your focus never improves. I don't want to even talk about the crash that happens after they wear off. I can pretty much guarantee that what I'm about to share with you, you have never heard of. But I can pretty much also guarantee that as two paisans doing a show, that you would expect nothing less from me and Frankie to bring you this as the solution. This supplement is based on a molecule Big Pharma doesn't want you to know about because Big Pharma cannot make any money off of it, okay? It is the strongest and easiest focus and energy supplement that I've ever tried. And unlike any of these other things, I don't crash. I sleep better at night. It is amazing, okay? Here's what it is. It's called My Vital C and it has just two ingredients, like the two genders, okay? Ain't but two genders. Ain't but two ingredients. That was good, right, Frankie? Who said that? Do you know who said that?
Our boy.
Mark Robinson, yeah. Governor of North Carolina. Lieutenant. Two ingredients, olive oil and a powerful nano antioxidant, 125 times more powerful than vitamin C. It's called ESS-60. Okay, olive oil, ESS-360, amazing. Let's go. Olive oil supplements. Frankie and I have olive oil coursing through our veins because we're Italian, obviously. So, guys, myvitalc.com/LFA right now for 15% off your initial order. Go get it today. Harness the power of the olive oil. Let's go. And also, guys, make sure you go check out the LFA TV store. LFATV.us, LFATV.us, LFATV.us. Go become a sponsor of the network. Go shop the latest gear from the great Jeremy Harrell and all of your other favorite LFA TV hosts on LFATV.us. It's great to support. Go do that today. LFA TV store. Okay, Frankie, how we doing?
We're doing. Chat's making me laugh.
All right.
I'm doing.
We got a lot of, yeah, mixed messages. Mixed opinion in the chat, actually. So we're going to get back into it. And Frankie is going to be ready to go. All right.
All right.
Let's do it, Frankie.
We're on in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York on September 11th. Must we never forget. And we're going to pay tribute at the end of the show to the victims of September 11th. You know, it's a subject that Frankie and I have never been shy of talking about. But we returned last night's debate and the fallout from last night's debate. And I thought this was a very good moment from President Trump. It was very funny for all the people out there who have seen Kamala Harris and her rehearsed canned tactics. Okay, President Trump called out Kamala Harris for her rehearsed canned tactics, but he mocked her with this I'm speaking thing. I thought this was a very funny moment from the night, an effective moment for people who actually know what a phony she is. Roll for you.
She gave up at least 12 and probably 14 or 15 different policies. Like, she was big on defund the police. In Minnesota, she went out. Wait a minute. I'm talking now, if you don't mind, please. Does that sound familiar?
I thought it was a good moment. I thought it was good. And, you know, Kamala was a little like, you know, and there were moments to have her like that more in the debate. Again, I thought President Trump prosecuted the case of the southern border well. I thought he explained foreign policy well. I thought he explained the Middle East war well. I thought he explained Ukraine-Russia in a sensible way, in the most sensible way. I thought Kamala Harris uses platitudes that are designed to appeal to the masses. Unfortunately, a lot of people are sheep and don't understand what a scam it is. I thought his comeback on the the semiconductor chips, I thought that was smart, but again, that flies over a lot of people's heads. Obviously, he wins on the southern border. Obviously, he wins on the economy and inflation. And then you have this moment, which I thought, again, was if I think that there's one thing that Trump could have done in the debate to deliver a kill shot to Kamala Harris, the kill shot. Now, this was unexpected, But I think that Trump should have wanted to talk about the following thing you're about to hear here. This was the opportunity for the biggest moment of the night, and I wanted it. It didn't come. There will be more opportunities. But let's roll this right here, Frankie. Roll
instead this of fixing Kamala, a problem. And I'll tell you something. He's going to talk about immigration a lot tonight, even when it's not the subject that is being raised. And I'm going to actually do something really unusual. And I'm going to invite you to attend one of Donald Trump's rallies, because it's a really interesting thing to watch. You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you. You will not hear him talk about your needs, your dreams, and your desires. And I'll tell you, I believe
okay.
you
So in that moment right there, now President Trump, you know, defended his rallies, rightfully so. But in that moment, I would have said, this is what I thought was the biggest miss of the night. I'm just going to shoot it to you straight. He should have said, you want to talk about my rallies? You want to invite the public to a rally? Kamala Harris, I'm going to invite you to Butler, Pennsylvania on that fateful day in Butler, Pennsylvania. I'm going to invite you to that rally where a radical leftist lunatic, radicalized by your disgusting and disgraceful message, enabled and spurred by these fake moderators, had this individual kill people in my crowd and come inches away from taking my life. They killed people in the crowd. And you know what my rally attendees did? The 50,000 that were there? You say people leave my rallies? No, they don't leave my rallies. Because even in the face of gunfire, they stood there in unity, together, looking at me, hoping I was okay. And they put their own lives on the line in chaos. Anybody else would have stampeded out. We have the greatest movement in the history of the world because everybody stood there together. Nobody flinched. And then I got up and I felt it was my duty, even though I was at the risk of getting shot again and dying that day. I put my fist up in the air because it was my duty to let all those 50,000 plus people there know that I was okay. And that even if your people try to kill me, I will not back down, and my supporters proved that day that they will not back down. There has never been a movement like this, and you have not condemned in unequivocal terms a political violence of that nature that we haven't seen since the attempted JFK assassination. Will you condemn it? Why do you continue to inflame the situation? Why do I have to speak behind bulletproof glass at my rallies? But you in your contained room of, you know, 50 people that you busted, why don't you? Why is that the case? Could have been a mic drop moment. She would have had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, before we go on to debunk some of the things that the moderators said they were debunking but were lies, I want to bring Frankie into this. Frankie, I want you to talk for a couple minutes on just your overall thoughts of the debate. Don't, you know, anything that you believe, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. Again, there was a lot to unpack here. The chat seems pretty split on the reaction. Frankie, the floor is yours, sir. Do not be shy.
Well, I'll be honest, Mike. It was hard to watch, in my opinion. It was hard for me to watch because exactly how you're explaining, oh, this should have been done, that should have been done. There was so much meat left on the bone. I was almost like, did he get enough sleep? I mean, it really, Mike, it was hard to watch. I mean, he fell into every trap that she set. I mean, it was clear that she was going to dodge every question that was, you know, to her because she has nothing to run on and she's a liar from to the core. But like, they ask her a tough question on immigration and she just starts talking, oh, well, his rallies, people leave early. How do you not know that that's a setup? And then he goes right into, oh, I have the... Dude, stop. Like, you fell into every... I literally wanted to like shake him, be like, bro, what are you... You're blowing it. And then, like, honestly, at the end of it, I'm like, you know what? He may have not done well, and we're used to him being on his A game and just being the best debater ever. And okay, like, everyone has a bad day, and I'm fine with that. And honestly, at the end of the day, I didn't think it moved the needle either way. I thought it was a wash because, you know, we're only really trying to target these independents, and they are not getting swayed either way from this debate because ABC is a joke. But for him to get into that, you know, if you kept watching coverage, it's like he went into the spin room a minute after the debate was over, and he's like, yeah, I was the best debate I've ever done. I don't, she wants to do another debate. I don't know if I'll do it because I won that one. It's like, dude, whoa, you better sign up for another debate. What are you talking about, bro? What? You don't leave it on that. Like, you're nuts to think that. I'm sorry. You're nuts to think that, oh, yeah, I did so good. We don't even need to do another debate. She only wants to do a debate because she lost so bad. It's like, who are you talking to? What are your aides telling you? Because they're freaking lying. That's what I wanted to say. All right. Back to you.
You have a lot of you have a lot of people in the chat saying that Mike Crispy should have prepped President Trump for the debate. No, listen, I think it's very, you know, I mean, if you, you know, if I was prepping President Trump, I would have told him they're going to, you know, as Frankie said, they're going to try to trap you with certain things and they're going to try to bait you into the caricature that they make you out to be. And you have these dead to rights points you could make that you need to make and you have to get them in. The thing with the Butler rally, I mean, you need to say that anyway, but she gave it to him on a silver platter. The thing about her prosecuting blacks in San Francisco, that was served up for him as well.
Yeah.
And so then, those, yeah.
Yeah, no. And then it was just, there were so many situations where he could have just said to the moderators, like, well, what are you going to, all right, I understand you're going to fact check me, but what about, you know, Project 2025? Where are you guys? Like, at least give them the opportunity to be like, oh, you know what, you're right. He just kind of ran right into it. I think there was almost a couple moments where the moderators were going to set the bar straight on a couple things she said, but he just jumped right into it and they just kind of skipped it, I think.
Well, so you make a point. And he said, you know, he disavowed the Project 2025, but what he should have said was, are you going to fact check that? Are you going to talk about how that's an independent think tank? Are you going to talk about how every single independent think tank in the history of Washington, D.C. puts out white paper positions in the hopes of lobbying the next administration to do some of those things? And that is such a common practice. It's like saying, Kamala Harris writes on white paper, so she's a white nationalist. Like, it's just such a stupid thing. Like, everybody writes on white paper. Everybody in the think tanks in D.C. make policy positions to lobby the next administration. All of a sudden, this has turned into the Project 2025. Like, they grasp at something unbelievably mundane and make it a thing. And it's obvious. You're right. He should have asked the moderators, are you going to fix this? But we know what the moderators were up to. We know what the moderators were doing in this debate. We know how disingenuous and how much they were lying. And here's something that was interesting. Obviously, in the debate, the situation came up about the migrants eating the cats and the dogs and the wild ducks and geese in the parks in Ohio and in other places. And the moderator said, well, the city manager said that, you know, there was nothing, you know. So obviously, they had that teed up. They were ready to debunk it. So I think that maybe somebody leaked. I don't know what happened, but they knew that he would say that because they had that. Well, the Springfield town administrator, why did ABC, how's ABC talking to the Springfield town administrator? Not trusting it. Did somebody leak internally? I don't know. But Trump should have been ready. If I was coaching him up, I would have said he should have referenced this police report. You put it on screen, Frankie, right there. He should have had this police report and the identifier of the police report and say, you guys are fake. This is the police report right here. I got the police report. This is Clark County Communications Center call detail report. Could have had it right there. Could have listed call number 2408-3568. Could have said it right there. This was the officer. This was the person doing it. And he could have said, there it is. On the radio dispatch, and on the police body cam footage, the women are eating cats. Footage of the dogs and the cats being cooked. Footage of these psychos in Queens catching ducks from the sky, or sorry, geese from, or birds from the sky, and the geese in the pond, and like strangling their beak, and people come up and say, what the hell are you doing? And he should have said, this is disgusting behavior that's incompatible with our way of life. And the problem with all this is that Trump said the line, but to continue and extrapolate on it, the problem with this is that these are the types of people who become citizens. America is a country that has been built on foundations and norms. This might be the foundations and norms of third world countries, but it's not America. You are importing the third world. Should have said that, importing the third world. But he should have briefly touched on that and then pivoted to the violence, to the way that Aurora, Colorado, we should have spent more time on that, where the way that they're taking over apartment buildings at gunpoint, the way they're knocking on people's doors in Staten Island, the women and the women who have been killed. Now, that was obviously the media helping Kamala in a coordinated fashion. And then the topic of fracking. Again, I want to talk about that because you can tell, Frankie. Now, the whole race comes down to Pennsylvania. Let's not kid ourselves. I'm not going to be all doom and gloom here. Because this race comes down to Pennsylvania. It does. And the reason I know that, and the reason I know Kamala knows that, is because anytime Pennsylvania was mentioned, fracking was mentioned, Kamala Harris got particularly agitated. If you notice, anytime it was brought up, she actually went back to it like 2 minutes later because it was still on her mind. Because the fracking and the Pennsylvania energy policy and the Pennsylvania vote is literally the whole ballgame. Win Pennsylvania, 98% chance to win the election. So she was very bothered by it anytime Trump brought it up. And again, to Trump's credit, he brought it up 3 times. Very good. Brought it up early and often. But when Kamala Harris says she doesn't stand for it, why didn't they reference this? I want to fact check Trump 5 times on apparently important things. Why not this? Roll, Frankie.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah, and starting.
Does it get any more unequivocal than that? Why would the moderator, again, I would have had any respect, the moderators could have been as vicious as they were and like Kamala Harris's lie as much as they want. But on that topic, such an important topic, such an important voting constituency, why would they, well, Kamala, you know, President Trump has always been on the record for fracking. You said in a CNN town hall in 2020 that no question you were in favor of banning it. You said it. That was the most egregious non-correction made by the moderators last night. But also, I'm sick and tired, and the moderator should be too, of this continued hoax with Charlottesville. They keep bringing it up. The full clip, roll it.
And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
That is one of the greatest scams ever is the Charlottesville hoax. And it's disgusting and it's a non-starter. When the media mentions that, what a hoax it is. When they say very fine people on both sides, he means people that were there who were not associated with neo-Nazi or white supremacy, people who were there protesting taking down a monument. I don't believe we should take down Columbus statues, for example. Does that make me a bad person? And then he says, I condemn the neo-Nazis 100%. He literally says it 2 seconds later. And then the last thing that I'll talk about here in which they tried to fact check him. They said, well, Mr. President, abortion is never legal after birth in any state. And Trump mentioned the governor of Virginia. So why wasn't this talked about? Or why would they, when again the governor of Virginia says it, why wouldn't then the moderators at least just say nothing and let the two go at it? Because this is very much a real quote. Kill the baby after birth. Roll it.
Well, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was.
That is literally kill the baby. How else can you parse it? That was said by a leading Democrat in a leading Democrat state of Virginia. Now, Trump went on the offensive on the abortion topic, which is what he should have done. I like when Republicans go on the offensive on the life issue. I like when they go on the offensive. I actually thought he handled it well. I actually thought that segment, he was very prepared for that segment. Like, clearly he was coached on, like, how to handle that, because he did very well on that segment, I thought. Back to the States, held his ground, talked about that, and went on the offensive, didn't let them control the narrative, didn't be on what they call put it back on roller skates, where you just keep answering their questions and sliding back. He went on the offensive. But the Democratic moderators helped Kamala by digging that quote-unquote fact check when clearly Ralph Northam there said what he said. So there you go. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more from last night. Do not go anywhere. What a night, what a night. All right, guys, well, a lot of people are saying Mike Crispy needs to be on the Trump campaign immediately. That's what a lot of people are saying right now in the chat. Listen, guys, I don't want that. I don't need that. It's not my goal of this. I am trying to give you guys real information. Love President Trump. I love his campaign, by the way. I think his campaign staff is great. You know, they've been very good to me. And so, you know, I have nothing to say. But, you know, just my thoughts, just raw thoughts on the debate. Sorry, guys, I want to talk about our next sponsors of the show that are making this possible. And our next sponsor are our friends over at Click45.com. Guys, head over to Click45.com right now and use promo code Crispy at checkout for 20% off your order. Guys, this is a chance to own real gold, real silver, and real copper coins. Okay, these coins are minted in the United States by a great patriot. His name is Byron. He got canceled off the face of the internet because he was doing something unique. He was telling President Trump stories in these coins in a way that could never be erased. Obviously, in the fake news media, in the press, they obviously manipulate storylines. This is a tangible way that will stand the test of time for the next 200 years, telling President Trump's story. It's really amazing. You can collect them all. It makes a great gift, great collectible series. And again, these coins are also made out of real gold, real silver, real copper, so they have value. And the value of gold, silver, copper, you can just look it up, Google it, is going up in real time. It's at 10-year highs. So guys, own these coins today. The price of the coins has not gone up as gold, silver, copper have gone up. So the value of the coins are actually getting more. So guys, go do that right now. Collect45.com. They got the fight coin. Okay, go get that. And I talked to the head of Collect45.com yesterday. We are going to do a new giveaway. Okay, we're going to do a new giveaway starting here very shortly. Remember we had the last giveaway of a coin? We're going to do a new coin giveaway. And it is going to be huge, okay? New coin giveaway, Frankie. Yes, be ready for that. If you didn't get it last time, new coin giveaway. So make sure you guys do that. And please make sure you also support our next sponsor of the show, OFP Farms. Guys, head on over. Oh, it smells amazing. I just stop and pause and smell the roses. I don't say smell the roses. I say smell the OFP, baby. Guys, head on over to OFPFarms.com. You know, it's funny. My accountant texted me. He goes, he watches the show every day. He goes, Mike, what's that soap thing? I got to get it for my wife. OFP Farms makes a beautiful gift for your wife. Any of the men out there, you want to make your wife happy? Here you go, OFP Farms. Guys, Frankie, is your wife happy with OFP Farms?
Oh, so happy. I gave a bar to my cousin yesterday, and he's buying his own. He asked for the promo code. Hilarious.
Let's get, and by the way, they sent me a new box. It's beautiful, the We the People series. It's got the beautiful Trump artwork. I'm kind of holding out on Frankie because they sent me the box, and then, you know, I don't see Frankie.
Well, I buy my own. It's okay.
You know, I don't bring soap
I
to
really
the studio.
Just buy it. It's
yeah,
so
Frankie
good.
Buys his own. It is
Crispy.
Worth it. Worth every penny. Promo code Crispy for 15% off. Guys, listen, obviously the soaps that you're using are chemical concoctions made from big box stores that hate you. It's cheap. It's nonsense. Guys, get handmade soap from premium ingredients made in this country, made in the USA, and the main ingredient is goat milk, okay? They have a goat farm. It's where they make all this stuff at OFP. Guys, premium goat milk product ingredients. It is so great. I saw them. They were the first people in the chat today was Denise, Dr., you know, not Dr. Go Kisses, Papa OFP, and everybody else. So, guys, OFP Farms is a big part of this show. They're some of our most loyal fans. We love them so much. It's such a great honor to have them as sponsors, and we want to keep them forever as sponsors. Because what do you do? Smell bad? Your biggest organ in your body is your epidermis. What's that? Your skin. When you put the disgusting chemicals on your skin from other soap companies, you're killing yourself in slow time. And it's just stupid. So, guys, OFPFarms.com, promo code Crispy, 15% off. Hey, Denise, how's that for a read? That's a good read, right? She loves when I go off the script. So, guys, OFPFarms.com. Go get that. Get the lip balm right here, the Go Kisses. Mwah. How about that? Boom. Go get it today. So, all right. Frankie, let's roll right back in.
Oh, let's roll on in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. Now, I noticed something peculiar last night after the debate. And it's very interesting because my name is forever synonymized, or not synonymized, sorry. synonymized with exposing conspiracy theories that end up being real. Mike Crispy. Tim Walz, very anti-Italian-American, proven. Taylor Swift, a left-wing asset. Remember, first one talking about that. Last football season, you remember, I got a lot of flack for that. Mike Crispy saying that Taylor Swift is going to endorse Biden. Well, I was almost there. Because Taylor Swift was held, okay, in a holding pen. We were going to use her and have her endorse Kamala. That was the plan. I was right about it 90% of the way. She'd be used at an opportune time. When eyeballs were all on it to endorse the Democrat and help the Democrat. When Kamala said she was staying out of the race a couple months ago, I said, that's BS. At the Super Bowl, I thought that she would endorse. I even thought. Travis Kelce, all that. I was so close, Frankie, because what happened? Football season started this weekend. Okay? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. I was painting that connection. Super Bowl didn't happen, but the start of the NFL season, next biggest football moment. The presidential debate, the same time as the start of football season, Taylor Swift flipped on, activated. I told you guys, the timing of it would not be an accident, that they had Taylor Swift in waiting. Now they get all these celebrity endorsements, and nobody cares about the celebrity endorsements who are smart, but some of the dummies out there do. The youth vote, which has been going vastly in President Trump's direction over the last 6 months. He's actually the first Republican ever to be winning in the under 40 demographic amongst everybody in polls. They activated Taylor Swift right after the debate. Listen to the CNN disgusting, glowing, sloppy commentary on it. Roll, Frankie.
This is someone who crosses it all. This is, I think, the most important celebrity endorsement we've ever seen in a presidential campaign, especially because it is so close and it can make that kind of difference. The Harris for President campaign now has the two most perfectly timed and most important endorsements of this campaign. Joe Biden's 27-minute timed endorsement after he said, I'm not the candidate. Perfect timing. It just put a rocket on her to the nomination. This, about 27 minutes after the end of the debate. And it's so important, I think, to the people who are going to be consuming that Taylor Swift endorsement, including those fathers of eight-year-old girls, and that she said, I watched the debate.
Yes.
I didn't decide this yesterday. Yeah. This is a new candidate. It's a new candidate for all of us. And so I watched a more than 90-minute debate. I watched this candidate against
right
the
from
other
my private jet.
I watched it. I tuned in. I aligned with what the peasants are doing and spent 90 minutes on a debate. What a joke. You knew they were going to do it. So I'm going to give myself another check, you know. I said they'd replace Biden when my friend Kevin Smith was saying it would never happen. I was pretty much right. I mean, you know, I said Michelle. It ended up being another woman of color. And now Taylor Swift, I said the Super Bowl. And it ended up being on the NFL season opener the night of the debate after they swapped the candidates. I'm just saying. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap the show. Do not go anywhere.
Oh, Taylor, so relatable. What a joke.
Oh, man. All right, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you guys and thank our sponsors. And you know what, Frankie? Here is a sponsor that I want to talk about. Here is a sponsor. How about our friends on over at AMAC, okay? How about our friends on over at AMAC, okay? And I have been working with them for a little while, and they really are some of the best people. Listen, guys, in the days that followed the attempted assassination on President Trump, conservatives across the nation have rallied to a powerful message, fight and unite. So how do conservatives across our nation both fight and unite? By joining AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. By joining AMAC, you are uniting with over 2.1 million American people. Okay, think about it like a conservative AARP. AMAC listens to their members and fights for every single one of them every single day to defend your values and freedoms, holding our leaders accountable to pass common sense legislation. The larger AMAC's membership grows, the greater their influence in D.C. Let's not sit in the sidelines any longer. Be part of the solution by joining AMAC. Visit amac.us/crispy and activate your one-year membership today for only $1. Plus, as a member, you'll have access to exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, restaurants, and more. Enjoy the award-winning AMAC magazine packed with valuable insights and receive free guidance on Social Security, Medicare, and so much more. Join the movement of concerned citizens who are uniting under the AMAC banner to fight for the values on which our nation was built. Visit amac.us/crispy today to start your one-year membership for just $1. Let's go, Frankie. All right.
Let's go.
And, guys, do not forget about Genesis Gold Group. Guys, goldwithcrispy.com right now. If you are worried about the economy after last night's debate, if you're worried about it, you're worried about the value of the paper dollar, get in touch with our friends at Genesis Gold Group. Now is a very important time to get in touch with them because you see they're not interested in fixing inflation, the leftists. They're really not interested in it. So how much more will they really tank the value of the dollar intentionally? And how much more will you suffer in your retirement account with that? You don't have to suffer any longer, guys. Go to goldwithcrispy.com, fill out the form, and you'll get a free gold or IRA and investment guide. And our friends from Genesis Gold, faith-based folks, good folks, they have been endorsed by Mike Lindell. These guys will get you on the way, okay, to diversifying some of your assets because gold has stood the test of time and gone up in the face of the inflation. It's the perfect hedge against it. It's just common sense, smart thing to do. Okay, goldwithcrispy.com. Go do that today. Let's go. All right, Frankie, let's roll it back into it.
All right. Love it. And just, you know, I'm seeing, you know, in the chat once in a while, it's like, oh, the earpiece. She was fed. Listen, at the end of the day, I don't care if Kamala was wearing beautiful big Bose headphones and being fed every line. The Trump we know would still destroy her. That's all I'm going to say on that. All right.
Yeah.
On in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. I just want to wrap the show by paying tribute to the thousands of people whose lives were ruined on September 11th, 2001. Thousands of people died that day, and thousands more have suffered long-term effects. People that I know, people that Frankie knows, people in the New York and New Jersey area and the tri-state. And our country has never been the same ever since. It is disgusting and abhorrent. Now, as conservatives, we would never politicize something like today, but it's disgusting and abhorrent that Democrats trivialize 9/11 by conflating it with January 6th. Look at the images of that day and just realize the disingenuous animals that we are facing off against when they speak in such a disgusting, disrespectful way of those who put it all on the line that day. It is a disgusting and tragic day that I believe hits to the core for people like Frankie and I, especially me. I worked down there. I've worked in the financial district for years. I worked right off, you know, Broadway by the Charging Bull, Wall Street, right by the World Trade Center. I see those scenes every single day, in and around Manhattan every single day, on any single given day in our nation's history. Again, because timelines are timelines. It could be 20 years later, 20 years before. I mean, the world is thousands of years old, right? So the fact that we're that close to anything in history is kind of remarkable, right? We're living around it, in it. So that could have been when I was there. Any of us was there. Any person in this area feels it very personally that could have died that day. And it's disgusting to me how this many years later, we still do not know the truth. There are so many things out there that have been unanswered. The NIST investigation, which was the government-funded body that did the study post 9/11 about what happened, has been shoddy, inconclusive, and at times downright deceitful. The 9/11 Commission, downright deceitful. Video evidence has been seized. Splices out of security camera footages have been cut. Narratives have been put out on things such as Building 7, on things such as the passports being recovered, on things such as, you know, the aftermath of what it was like at the site. information about the hijackers, information about the flights, information about what happened on the day vis-a-vis our military chain of command. There is so much that has been unanswered for. And I'm not conspiracy theory pushy or anything like that. I just want the truth and I just want accountability. And we do not have that. And the families deserve justice. Frankie, do you have with 1 minute here? Do you have something to say on this?
Yeah, just in that, and then that closing, bringing us back to last night, she said that, January 6th, the biggest threat on our democracy since the Civil War. I mean, that's the meat on the bone right there. It's like, how dare you the day before this day say that is the worst thing since the Civil War, skipping 9/11, skipping Pearl Harbor, just disgusting. Disgusting.
And Trump just said that on the eve of 9/11. On the eve of 9/11, you call January 6th worse than 9/11, just to show you how disingenuous and disgusting these people are. So must we never forget, it's a solemn day, and there's just so much to be uncovered. I hope one day we get to the bottom of everything and there's true accountability. Do not listen to people who say that we have that. We do not have that. And that's still something that should weigh on people who truly love this country. All right. That's about all the time that we have in the program today. You guys know what we do in this broadcast. We keep it America First. We keep it bold. We always keep it unafraid. You better believe we're just getting started. We thank you for tuning in. We'll see you back live tomorrow.